Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name for wouldn't
step on your locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parts III.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through and to be able to come out and be the team of that quality. I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
New Orleans Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry is exactly correct. The Anthony Davis saga has been a dumpster fire from start to finish. And bravo to Coach Gentry for the way that he's been able to handle this. The fact that the New Orleans Pelicans front office, starting with Dell Demps and the ownership, have forced him to be out front and center on this, answering questions while still trying to keep this team together, while dealing with the fact that the franchise player does not want to be there. That's a lot of stress on Alvin Gentry's shoulders. He's trying to make sure that he can coach. He's coaching for his job, for one, because in the back of his mind, he has to believe that he's possibly going to get fired because they're going to make a change within the front office of the New Orleans Pelicans. And when you do that, typically the new GM or director of basketball operations comes in and wants to have their own coach, wants to mold the team with free agency and trades in the draft. So Gentry knows this. And he's been the good soldier, and last night he had just had enough. I mean, it's the All-Star break. My man is tired. You can tell my man is tired. Alvin Gentry's just like, I need a nap.
He hit that Nick Saban limit to where, that's it, I'm done.
I just imagine Alvin Gentry afterwards going home or just being in his office inside the Smoothie King Center drinking box wine.
Going all
just,
Wilford Brimley on people.
Just got a cold towel over his head drinking box wine in the dark. And he's just like, this sucks. And you know what? He's right. It has been a dumpster fire. But I give Gentry credit. He's done a nice job getting those guys to play hard. But my rant ain't about Alvin Gentry and the great job that he's done as the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans during this transition period. Now, we can talk about his job overall in his tenure as a head coach. We'll save that for a later date. My rant is to all the people on social media, in the press, and just fans. Stop acting like babies about this whole situation. The only thing I've seen, respected media members that I respect, some of them that I am friends with, fans, people that I just know and respect, the easiest thing to do right now is to dump on Anthony Davis. It is lazy to do. All I've heard, this whole narrative, is that he's ruined this team. He has no heart. He's quitting on this team. He hates his teammates. Blah, 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 blah. Get over it. First of all, it's just basketball. People are out there talking about, you know, the what they've had to overcome in this tumultuous saga. And the adversity that this New Orleans Pelicans team has had to deal with in the last 3 weeks. If any of y'all out there listening, or if anyone with the New Orleans Pelicans, whether they're a fan or a player or front office personnel, if you think that this is something that deserves to be considered and referenced as adversity, then I need to introduce yourself to the five fingers on the palm of my right hand and slap them across your face. Because you have no idea what adversity is about. There's things going on right now in the city of New Orleans that have been going on for generations that are real adversity with the socio and economic infrastructure that is New Orleans, with the crime rate, with the murder rate, with poverty, with the homeless situation, with politicians being corrupt and stealing money. Katrina, Rita. That's adversity. The fact that your perennial all-star wants a trade and doesn't want to play for you anymore ain't even in the realm of that. So stop whining about it. Y'all are grown folks. I see a lot of grown folks out there on social media and talking on radio stations and talking on TV, talking about you devalue real adversity when you talk about this. I don't want to hear the argument that it is, well, you know, in the context of sports, shut up. Like, for real. If you want to talk in the context of sports, what the Saints had to go through after Katrina, that's real adversity. When they had to play their home games in Tiger Stadium and in San Antonio and had to live out of hotel rooms, and a lot of their families were left behind, and a lot of their homes they couldn't go back to. Or the fact that Tulane University nearly closed, UNO closed, and almost closed for good because of that. That's real adversity, and I keep hearing the whining. I'm over the whining from the Pels fan base and the people associated with them, the people that cover them, supposed journalists that cover them, that are talking about Anthony Davis is a scumbag. First of all, Anthony Davis gave y'all 6-7 years. Y'all had y'all's opportunity to do something. It didn't happen. That man has every right to say he wants to better his situation. If you're working at Hardee's and you decide, you know what, it ain't working out for me here. I don't feel like we are in a championship fast food restaurant. I want to go somewhere else. You have every right to want that. We're such hypocrites when it comes to our professional athletes because we want to control and dictate what they do with their money, where they go, how they play, where they go, who they sign with. Fandom run amok. Anthony Davis is giving you 7 years of his prime or early prime of his career. You've proven as a front office, Dell Demps as the general manager, and the ownership group, Gail Benson and Mickey Loomis, as well as front office, that the Pels are not a priority. They have not been ran as an actual basketball operation. But everything has shifted from being critical of that to being critical of Anthony Davis. It's always easy to bash on the athlete. That is the laziest thing that you can do, is bash on the guy. And it always gets brought up every single time. Every single time a guy wants to be traded or he wants to leave or whatever it may be, oh, he's being selfish. Really? Y'all take a long, hard look in the mirror, because every decision that you make in your life when it comes to your career or your personal life or your professional life or schooling and everything, those are all selfish decisions. Is he being selfish wanting to make this decision to be traded? Yep, you're right. Sure is. He's allowed to do that too. And y'all should be adults about it. But that's not how fans work. And that's not how some of these journalists that are disguising themselves, sorry, fans disguising themselves as journalists that want to sit there and bash on Anthony Davis and make a good living doing it because it riles up the fan base, the tepid fan base at that is the New Orleans Pelicans, because you can drive a go-kart through that damn arena most nights. and not hit a single person. But that's a discussion for another day, how New Orleans is really not a basketball city. But all that said, grow up. Get over it. There's real adversity out there in the world, in the city of New Orleans, in the state of Louisiana that should be dealt with and should be, you should be utilizing your energy, your passion, and everything for. Wasting your time and your breath and your energy and all of our time bashing Anthony Davis, it does the city of New Orleans a disservice, and it does the state of Louisiana a disservice, and more importantly, it does you a disservice. Be better. Plain and simple. Now that I got my anger out of the way, we're trying to have things more on a positive note. The day before the shoots nups, the countdown has begun. On the show today, we're going to have George Faust coming up doing some fireballs with us, like always. Then we'll have... Go ahead, just get on there.
No to that one there. I have not received confirmation from the king of Acadian sports media. Maybe he's...
Well, you know what? You know, if the king keeps flaking out on the rap game, he won't be the king no more.
Well, you mean...
I'm just saying.
Maybe not to you, but I don't know if you have the power to strip him of his title like that. We can maybe steal the crown jewels,
Game
but I don't know.
Style.
We can go. We form a coup.
Winter's coming.
We'll overthrow the throne.
Winter's coming, Faust.
Rap game is coming. That's funny.
Well, if we can get George, great. If not, we'll roll right through it.
There's nothing else to talk about, though. Whatever could we talk? I mean, oh my goodness.
9:32. We got Patrick McClellan from the Lehman Lehman Time.
The Lehman Lehman Time. Oh, I figured out the restaurant was Casa Ole.
Oh, thank
you. It wasn't an Applebee's. It was Casa Ole.
Patrick's going to come on and talk Rockets, Astros with us. Pitchers and catchers have reported, so can't wait to start talking about Major League Baseball. Then at 10:02, Adam Hunsucker from the Monroe News Star is going to join us. He's going to help us preview the ULM at UL men's basketball game on Saturday, as well as give us a little taste of ULM baseball, who opens up the season against LSU tonight at Alex Box Stadium. And then in the second hour, we'll also have Tyler Nunez, our friend from Tiger Rag. He's going to help us, LSU men's basketball. Are they going to avoid the letdown in Athens against Georgia on Saturday? We'll talk to him about that. Plus, RPOs with RP3 and much, much more. The day before the shoots nups. Yes. Yes, the day has come. It is here, Cody.
I have funny things. Maybe we can find a second to talk about that.
We're going to talk. I'm going to squeeze out time.
Yeah, I have a couple of little factoids about what's going to go down tomorrow at the way that I think is going to, that are funny to me. You'll think they're funny because they're absolutely ridiculous to everyone else. Funny to me. Everyone else is going to think it's stupid.
Nice. More rap game with RP3 coming up right here on 103.7 The Game.
It's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I want to marry you. Is it the look in your eyes?
Welcome back to a special Shoots Nups edition of
I think I want to marry you.
Rap game with RP3.
You can't hate Bruno Mars,
no
matter what.
No.
You can't hate Bruno Mars.
I'm your host.
You're going out of your way to do so.
I'm your host, Raymond Parse III. We're broadcasting live here at 103.7 The Game from the 237 Roof Studios. You know, we started off the show today with some anger, with my rant.
Just some anger?
Of all the people acting like Anthony Davis owes them something, like they're like he's their daddy or something like that. That man don't owe you nothing. He plays professional. He's a professional athlete. He don't owe you nothing. You know who owes you something? Your dad, your mom, your brother, your best friend. Just calm down. Grow up. People are soft. Just soft. You know who's not soft? Cody Shoots.
Oh, thank you, Raymond.
Because my man is embracing.
I am.
About to be embracing what is married bliss.
Yes.
Tomorrow. The Shoots will be taking the nups. It's a glorious day. Congratulations to you, brother.
Thank you,
man. First of all.
6 o'clock tomorrow, so the countdown is officially on.
So you've already done some things smart.
Okay.
Smartly. As someone who is married and has gone through this experience before.
Right.
So you did not make the fatal mistake of trusting the Farmer's Almanac for the last 5 years when you picked your weekend to get married to your beautiful wife, and because you decided to have a day wedding, okay, outside at a plantation in May, and you went back on 5 years of the Farmer's Almanac, and you're like, hey, this is the, like, one of the coolest weekends, like, temperature-wise. This will be perfect. And then it ended up being a record heat wave.
Feel like I should hit the rant of the week again. Somebody's upset.
No,
we let her pick. I let her pick the weekend, and she wanted it to be actually, I think, when we originally tried to book it, was supposed to be the following weekend. So, like, not the 16th.
Right.
She wanted a little farther away from Valentine's Day.
Makes sense.
But
she was trying to do you a solid.
Right. But the
I like her already. Good lady.
Oh, she's amazing. But the venue itself was already booked for that. Yeah. Some other girl had already helped out her guy, I suppose. So we ended up on the 16th, which I don't care. It's exactly 11 months from when we got engaged. I proposed to her on March 13th, I believe it was. It was either the 13th or the 16th. I'm going to say the 13th. I'm pretty certain. March 13th of 2018, and we're getting married February 16th of 2019. So we waited a full year.
Nice. Nice.
She was a little stressed out at the beginning of the week. She had a lot of stress and stuff. But after the rehearsal dinner, it seemed like that was like the point where she was like, you know what? This is going to be fun. And she kind of let the stress go.
So when did you have your rehearsal dinner?
Wednesday night.
Oh, wow. You had it already. See, we had ours the night before.
Well, we wanted to, but there's a wedding Friday night.
But I don't recommend that, actually, after going through it.
Okay.
Like, that's the weird thing. Like, you're going to go through this day, and it's going to be a beautiful day.
Right.
But there are going to be things, like, down the road that you're going to look back, and you go, you wish you did it differently.
Right, to tell your own kids and other things like that.
Right. You know,
or to tell your producer the day before he's getting married.
You did good not to have the day wedding like we did. We originally wanted to have a winter wedding at night.
Yeah.
And because I got so many people that were coming in, all my boys live like in Oklahoma or Illinois or Indiana.
Right.
Okay. And I had family from coming in from Alabama. No one was going to be able to do that because they have kids and everything like that. So, you know, those are the things that you have to do with.
Right.
You mentioned, we talked off air, that you're having a golf excursion.
Yeah, totally.
Now, my advice to you. This, me and my wife got you something off your registry, brother. Okay.
Yes, thank you for that.
Okay, but this is my real gift to you.
I am listening, all ears.
Okay. So, I did not have a golf excursion on my wedding day. I got married during the day.
Okay.
But my boy, Mike, did, one of my best friends, and he got married in Natchitoches, and we went up there, and it was a beautiful thing. They stayed in a bed and breakfast. They got married in the backyard of this little bed and breakfast there, and off of downtown Natchitoches, you know, beautiful home and everything like that. Beautiful day. But he wanted to go golfing the day of. So, like, you're going to go do the awesome new facility out there in BR.
Right, the Topgolf.
Right, Topgolf, where you can, like, golf from 7 stories up.
Yeah, it's just a big driving range, basically.
Whatever. That used to be where the Tinseltown movie theater
was.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah, I went there. So we were like, hey, we'll go golfing.
How'd that work out?
Oh, well, I'll put it to you this way, my man. This is my advice. When you feel like it's time to go, you're already late.
Oh God. And I hope no one in my immediate family is listening right now, because I am notoriously late for everything.
My man. When you think to yourself, you know what, I can hit another bucket of balls, or I can hit just 10 more balls. Let's just say you're thinking to yourself, I can finish off this bucket, and you're thinking to yourself, I got a little time to squeeze this in. Run.
You don't. You're wrong.
Run. Trust me on this, because the universe and God will smack you around for trying to squeeze in more golfing time before
right.
you go walking down the aisle for your nups. Okay, I seen it firsthand. It was me and my boy and a couple of us, and we were golfing, and we were at a course where cell phone reception was not great.
Shoddy. was the word he was going to use.
Oh. And we were running late, and I want to say my boy got sunburned a little bit. Not like hangover style sunburned.
No, no, no.
But still got a little crispy, and we ran late, and we got back, and some of the wedding party was already dressed.
Yikes.
The bride was not happy, not only with her husband, but whoever your best man is. I'm assuming he's going to be part of this best man excursion.
Yes, my younger brother, yes.
Your younger brother? What's your younger brother's name?
Tyler,
listen to me. This is RP3, Raymond Parks III, host of Rap Game with RP3. I've become friends with Cody Schutz. He's my producer. Now, Tyler, let me tell you something. I know you want to take care of your brother. I know you want to take care of your boy. I get it. I've been there. I've been the best man numerous times. We've had some good times in New Orleans and other places. Hell, I had my bachelor party actually in Vegas. That's a story that will never be told on the air.
Fair enough.
Okay. So, I get it. It's a big responsibility. You only get really one chance, especially if you're doing it for your brother. But my man. The wedding's at what time,
Cody? 6 o'clock.
6?
Yep.
So you're planning to go to Topgolf.
Around 10:30, 11.
And Baton Rouge is notorious with the traffic.
Right.
So you're thinking about going out there 10 to 11, having some beer.
Right, hitting a few balls around. Yeah, hopefully leaving for like 2 o'clock at the latest from there and going to the hotel. When the hotel is like 5 minutes from the venue, so the hotel is right there, and we're going to get dressed at the hotel and then hopefully arrive at the venue for 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tyler. You need to get at the venue at 4:30.
Okay.
Trust me on this. Because what's going to happen is if you don't show up, and let's say y'all are rolling in 5:02. Still got to tie the tie on your tuxedo, or if you're rocking the tuxedo t-shirt, even better.
Even better.
You don't have to worry about it. You roll in at 5:02, because here's the other thing. It's not only that your bride's going to know that you're running late, but her bridesmaids, mamas, aunts, grandmas, other people, and they look and they search for you like it's the aliens in an alien movie. They looking for you, and if you roll in, you're at 5:02. Oh, it's going to be hell to pay. So Tyler, for all the means, get your brother to the hotel and to the venue by 4:30. That means leave Top Golf early. That's my advice to you. That's my gift to you, Cody. That's my gift to you.
We will do that because you seem very adamant, and I trust you.
Trust me on this. Trust me, please. When we come back, we're going to talk some Houston Astros and Houston Rockets with our friend Patrick McClellan right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parsons III. Here on 103.7 The Game, we're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios. Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline today, like always, 337-706-0111. Once again, that's 337-706-0111. Just a programming reminder. Later today, the brother, Ben Love, will be broadcasting the 4-4-A Game of the Week. It's the regular season's finale between Westgate and Northside. Playoff pairings will be released, I do believe, on Sunday or Monday. So this will be the regular season finale for both the Westgate Tigers at Northside, the Vikings. That's the 4-4-A Game of the Week. That will be broadcast tonight on 97.7 The Rewind. That's because LSU baseball, season opener versus the ULM Warhawks. 6:30 pregame right here on 103.7 The Game. First pitch right after 7 o'clock. And you can keep it live and local all weekend for your LSU coverage. Saturday, we got you covered for the men's basketball game. LSU at Georgia in Athens. Pregame 4:30. Tip at 5 o'clock. And we'll wrap up the weekend in style. LSU baseball versus Air Force at Alex Box Stadium, live right here on 103.7 The Game. 2:30 pregame, 3:05 first pitch. So keep it live and local. We got you covered for your high school basketball action as well as all of your LSU this weekend right here on 103.7 The Game.
party darting. We're efforting.
We are efforting. We are efforting.
We're failing, but we're efforting.
We are ending the week strong.
I don't want to talk about my wedding for 2 hours, but it kind of seems like that's where this is headed.
Hey, me, where it's headed.
Kind of seems like where it's headed.
So we're efforting Patrick McClellan to come on.
Yeah, I can make it. I can actually make a comment about my wedding. I can make it sports related and actually even Major League Baseball related, since we were going to talk Astros and Cubs here. We can talk, say, be nice to that microphone, Raymond. It didn't do anything to you. But Kaylee's, I don't know, is it called a garter? The thing, the leg thing,
yes.
The stretchy? Okay, yeah, so we know what we're talking about then.
Yes.
You know this already because I guess you got married, so, and anyone else who's been married probably knows. I didn't know this. Did you know that they wear, the bride wears two of those? Because the one you toss, or at least Kaylee, is like, I'm tossing a different one than one
gonna
she's going to keep.
Yeah,
the one or something like that. You know?
Do that, yeah, that's. So some of them do. So some of them keep the two. So you give one out, you know.
Right. You do the toss thing.
It's like the tossing of the bouquet, but for the dudes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
The one that we're tossing, you know, it's just got like a little blue flower on it or something like that. But the actual one that she ordered that she's going to keep is pretty sweet. It's a garter and it's got a big blue bow on it. And it's got the Cubs logo all over the blue bow because I'm a big Cubs fan. So she needed something new. And blue, and she knocked that out.
Nice.
And with one item. So
nice.
Pretty excited about that.
Have you got her to come to your, like, does she root for the Cubs now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
When we started dating, the Cubs won the World Series 6 months or so after we started dating, maybe in that ballpark, less than a year after we got together. The Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. I am marrying her. So you're wondering, like, that is... That was step one. That was like if no seeds were planted already. The Cubs won the World Series right after we got together. Oh, yes. Yes, she will be mine.
She will be mine. She will be mine.
We're going to come into, this will make you laugh as well, we're going to walk into the reception. So, like, you know, they do the whole now presenting to you, Mr. and Mrs. da-da-da-da-da in the reception. And then you do the dance with the mom and the dad and all that and everything. We will enter said reception hall. You had to know, Raymond. If you didn't know, now you do. Tell your friends, tell your mama, tell your daddy. We will be introduced. My time is now. You know this.
My man is good at my man.
I got her to say yes to that.
How did you do that?
Don't ask me. It was a late night when she was filling out the music email form. She was laying in bed filling out the email form to send back to the DJ. And she was like, well, what do you want to come into the reception to? And, like, I don't know exactly how much time later, but I got her to agree to that. Even better, though. Even better.
So, talk about. So,
okay,
you got this woman.
Yes.
She has committed to rooting for your beloved Chicago Cubs.
Right.
Even taking it to the level where the garter belt has the Cubs logo on it.
Right, that she ordered and surprised me. Like, look at my garter.
Okay.
And I was
all
like,
right.
Whoa, you're the best.
All right, yep, okay. So she's down with
it. She gets it.
She's riding with you on that way.
Right.
Just like my wife committed to, that's not popular, but my wife, even though she's born and raised in Louisiana, in South Louisiana, she willingly came on board to root for my Alabama Crimson Tide.
Fair
enough. I did not ask her to. She just...
It's easy to... root for them. They win all the time.
But you know what I'm saying? But then I started, you know, I started rooting kind of for the Saints with her because that was, you know. So your bride to be,
yes,
is down with the Cubs. Your bride to be is also down with the wrestling.
Not as much, but she doesn't hate it. She came to WrestleMania. When WrestleMania was in New Orleans, she was sitting right next to me during the show.
Oh, nice, nice. So this... This woman really loves you, mama,
apparently,
because not only has she integrated your favorite sports team into your nups,
right?
She's allowing you guys to enter the reception hall on her big day, to the theme music for John Cena.
That is correct, sir. That is correct.
Uncle Ray Ray is going to give you some more advice. It's some more advice time. You ready?
Go for it.
Don't ever let her go.
Never.
Don't you screw this up. That's your one goal in life, Shoots. You found someone that is going to embrace your sports team, has willingly incorporated your favorite sports team into your wedding. And then she's allowed you guys to enter the reception hall to wrestling theme music. Right? Is that a caller? Is someone asking if your soon-to-be wife has a sister that's available?
It's so funny. I just said this. We've got somebody calling in who has a story that they want to share about what we're talking about. I just got tweeted at by someone saying basically the same thing you did. Like, wait, how did you find a woman like this? This took off. I didn't expect this to be as. But hold on, the story, it gets better.
Okay, all right.
Because at the garter toss, and Christian, we're coming to you in just a second, my friend. But for the garter toss, you know, there's a song that plays specifically for that as well.
Yes.
She somehow got convinced, and I will be tossing my garter to. Yes. If you didn't know this was coming, you don't listen to 103.7 The Game in the mornings. So this will be what the garter is tossed to. I love you, Kaylee Lejeune. Thank you. Christian is on the Ardcore Equipment Hotline.
Man,
you got a story, man. I'm sorry to make you follow the Pokemon theme song, bro. What's
Christian,
up, dude?
Welcome to Rap Game, brother. What you got?
All right, man. So, Raymond, you said you're a fan of Alabama Crimson Tide. So I married a woman from Birmingham who was also an Alabama fan. And since I'm not an LSU fan, I find that I tend to root for Alabama whenever they're doing well, as much as it hurts to say.
Okay.
But Cody, my wife allowed me, I'm a huge Cardinals fan, and my wife allowed me to name my son with the initials STL.
What? Christian, time out. We have to address this. So, Christian, the full name, so obviously your child has a middle name. So you were able to get the full the initials to be STL, and your wife was down with this.
She was. That was the only thing I asked for with naming the child was this, because I wanted my middle name is Todd, and I wanted to pass it down from the beginning.
Okay.
And so it just happened that I had the TL already, and so I told her, I said, look, no matter what, if we can just have an S name, it would be fantastic, and she somehow agreed to do it.
Oh, Christian, God bless you, and good for you, my man. Good for you. Congratulations. Got you a good one, my man.
Well, thank you, guys. Y'all enjoy, man. I appreciate listening to you guys. Y'all are awesome.
Thanks, Christian. My man, Cody, I know you were efforting getting another phone call. To recap, I was listening. Okay. Christian asked his wife. So he roots for Alabama because he married a woman from
Birmingham.
Birmingham, okay. So that's the heart of Crimson Tide country.
Fair enough. So
he does that. So he's a diehard Cardinals fan, your hated rival. So let's not get sidetracked with that between the Cubs and the Cards.
Sorry, the Cardinals haven't been that great lately.
Oh, Tony, you had to throw shade.
I'm not throwing shade. No, I'm just saying I'm not that mad at the Cardinals currently because Tony La Russa, he's a man. They miss him.
You can't say bad things about the Cardinals because Molina will come down here and probably throw punch you. Okay.
Oh, Yachty is a dog.
He's a dog.
You won't catch me saying a bad word about him. He is a dog.
You got to love him.
Yeah.
So, Christian, he wanted to pass down his middle name. Okay, his middle name's Todd. His last name starts with an L, so he already had the TL. He just asked his wife if they can name the child with an S name, and she agreed to do that. Chick, man. That's awesome.
We've got me with my songs I'm getting. That's awesome. We've got Christian who's getting, you know, to name his child basically for a little
after the loop.
You know what's in giggles a little bit there. And then we also had Brandon call in Christian was talking, and Brandon said for his wedding, he was trying to convince his wife to let them as well come into a certain song or whatever. And his wife was like, no, we've got a three-piece orchestra type thing. They had like live music at the wedding. That's badass.
Okay.
But they had like a three-piece orchestra, and they're not going to be able to play the song you want and this and that. So Brandon was then allowed, he offered, I'll hire a trumpet player. I'll get a guy. He hired a trumpet player to come in and sit with the other live music pieces to play the LSU fight song when they walked into their wedding. Brandon, you were a legend, my friend. Your wife is a legend. Thank you to her. And Christian, Brandon, and myself, we are proof. And Raymond Parsh III, as a matter
of fact.
We are proof that good women are out there. Just don't be a you-know-what, and you can find them.
Just don't be a bag.
Exactly.
That's all you got to do, guys.
Exactly.
Hey, fellas.
We're going to screw up, and they know that. They know that.
Trust me. So the ladies know. Look, we're going to be honest for a minute here. I'm going to give you a little secret here. Okay, your women in your life, your lady, your girlfriend, your lady friend, your wife, okay? They love you, and they love you in spite
right,
of you.
They are aware that you are you.
They are aware that you are going to fail at some things, okay? My wife knows that. My wife knew that from jump. She says, you're a good guy, but there are things that I do not do well, okay? I do not do well. It's a recurring joke in our household. My wife goes, if anything happens to me, you're screwed because I don't remember passwords.
My mom says that all the time to my dad.
I don't remember passwords. She's like, what's the password for banking, our bank account? I'm like, the password's me going to the bank and trying to flirt with the teller and try to get them to help me out with my bank account. That's what that's going to be about. I'm like, I go, you know, so there's certain things. So that's the thing, guys.
Right.
Look, your lady doesn't want you to be perfect. They don't want you. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to have the six pack. You don't even have to have a full head of hair. Look at me. Okay. I got a bald head. I'm balding. My wife married me even though I was balding. Okay. All right. And I got me a good woman. Okay. And she loves me. If you're not a bag, just don't be a bag.
Right.
And they will love you in spite of your flaws and your faults. And they will be down for you. And if you play your cards right, they will also defend your honor. Like, ain't nobody's business. Like, my wife, she's sweet. She's professional. She's a good woman. She will cut somebody.
Yes.
My wife will be cutting somebody. Just telling you. Okay? So, guys, the ladies will help you out. They will root for one of your sports teams, whether it's having a garter that's Chicago Cubs.
Right.
Or rooting on a team that is the hated rival of your own, the favorite team of your family. Like, my wife, all of the family roots for LSU.
Right.
And she came over to the dark side.
So to speak.
Yes.
I mean, and for Kaylee, I mean, she watches. Granted, she may fall asleep towards the end of some of the show, but, I mean, she takes in 5 hours or so worth of wrestling content a week, and she doesn't care. I mean, she doesn't hate wrestling, but does she care that Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose hate each other, and then all of a sudden maybe they're friends again and no one quite knows? No, she doesn't care about that. But does she complain ever at all at rest? The most complaint I get when I, hey, can you turn that down a little bit? And most of the time when she says that, it's because it's loud.
Like, it's because you have it too loud. You're being insensitive.
Exactly. I mean, it's I don't know. I don't know how we got to this point in this conversation.
This is how we got to this point in this conversation. This is how this happens. Because I decided to be aggressive and go, we're going to have 4 guests on today.
Yeah, this is how this happened.
This is how this happened.
Good call.
Because your boy was like, we're going to finish the week strong. I was bragging on Twitter. I was like, we got 4 guests.
How many people have you talked to so far today, Ray?
I talked to Christian and you.
To Christian and me.
Big up to Christian,
thanks,
who
Christian.
Was our first guest.
Right, Brandon coming through as well with the call.
Brandon coming through. Right, with the calls. You know, I started off the rant. That threw everything off.
Maybe that's what it is, the rant.
Because usually we keep the rant, but we have a guest coming on there. So I was like, okay, well, we'll give the people the rant too.
Right.
And then I wanted to, you know, hey, give you some advice and talk. And then Fausti, the winner is coming for Fausti.
Yes, it is official now. Yes.
It's official.
Winner is coming.
Winner's coming
and
for Fausti.
Patrick McClellan will have winner chasing him very shortly as well.
Oh.
These gimmicks are accidentally stumbling upon.
But that's the best ones.
They are the best ones. But in conclusion, as they say, I'm looking very much forward to my wedding. If anyone has any other advice, you know where to find me on Facebook, Twitter, at Cody Shoots. Let me know because I am taking any and all advice. Tim, if you're listening, my man, I haven't forgot your advice about paper towels or a rag or something in the pocket to keep your hands from being sweaty. I've remembered that.
Yes.
Raymond,
you will sweat buckshot.
Yeah, and Tim's advice to me, it was off the air, I think. It was just me and him chatting on the phone. His advice to me was put paper towels in my pocket. That way, when it comes to the part of the ceremony where you have, you know, they're like, please take Kaylee's hands or whatever, you know. I won't have these sweaty hands that Tim said his wife, you know, was none too pleased about. So.
You don't want the sweaty hands. We're getting reaction on the Twitter.
Are we
by the
now?
Way. This is the most reaction we've gotten. You're nuts. So we'll start off. Coach Chris.
Yeah, he was the tweet I saw.
Yeah. He says, how did Cody Shoots find this woman? Pulling for the Cubs is one thing, but agreeing to walk out to John Cena is the best thing ever.
Yeah, attaboy.
Blake,
thank you, Coach.
Blake Miller tweeted out, How does 103.7 The Game allow an Alabama fan to host a show in South Louisiana?
Answer the question, Ray.
Well, because they were like, well, we need the bearded, balding, white guy in his 30s to mid early 40s demographic.
And we need to check that tick box, huh?
Yep. He's built like Alan Michael. Let's give him a show. And that's how it went. But thank you, Blake. Not to worry. Some of my wife's family asked me the same thing. They're like, how in the hell they let you get a show? They know you're an Alabama fan? Well, yeah, they got to do. And one and only.
Blake, my man, though, think how sweet it'll be whenever Alabama finally does lose to LSU, though. Think how sweet that moment will be.
Yeah, Blake. You can give us a call then, man. You can trash. I'm down. Look, first of all, I'm not greedy. With all the titles that we have and the Heisman trophies, I'm good. We can start winning eight games.
Now you sound like Dave. Oh, I don't need any more championships.
Yankees fan.
Yeah, forget you.
But Schultze came through. Went to a wedding. He tweeted at us. He says, went to a wedding a few years back. A former pro baseball player.
Okay.
They had a band, and the entrance song was so familiar. Took me a little bit, but they were walking out to the Baseball Tonight theme song.
No! Dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, nice.
Oh, that's really good.
Nice. We will put on, we will wrap up the first hour of an entertaining but unexpected.
Yeah, maybe we'll table the wedding talk now from this point on. Maybe that was fun. Don't get me wrong, but we've talked about my wedding for like 25 minutes.
We'll wrap up the first hour of Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
And apparently Cody's wedding.
Welcome back to a Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios. You can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We'll take your calls. You want to talk Pels, LSU, Cody's Nups, whatever. We'll do it. We'll talk about it. Coming up in the second hour, we are guest heavy. Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star. He covers ULM, the Mighty Warhawks. He's going to help us break down baseball. The baseball team opens up the season at LSU tonight, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. He's also going to help us with the ULM at UL men's basketball game on Saturday, big Sun Belt Conference game for both teams. And then also in the second hour, we'll have our friend from Tiger Rag, Tyler Nunes, breaking down LSU men's basketball game at Georgia, plus much, much more. Second hour Rap Game with RP3 coming up after this break right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't
set. Like locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parks III.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Baseball season's under.
Stay with me, Ray.
Cubs are gonna win today.
Cubs are gonna win today.
They're singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Yeah. Now, if only I can work that into the wedding somewhere. That's my next goal.
My man, your wife has already agreed to wear a Cubs garter belt and to come out to John Cena's theme music when y'all hit the reception.
Take
what you get and don't push your luck, brother.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll take that advice now. I'm going to turn my mic off. We'll take what we can get.
Oh, Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. And we're going to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our good friend from the Monroe News Star. He covers the University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks as well as high school athletics for that publication. It's the one and only Adam Hunsucker. Adam, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing good, fellas. I don't know what you're talking about coming out to John Cena. To me, the trick is you got to do the Ric Flair and Baby Doll if you're going to move this thing right.
Yes.
You're not wrong. You're not. Point taken. Point taken.
I mean, I'm just saying, get you a nice, whether you want that turquoise or that pink or that orange, throw that on there and be styling and profiling.
Styling and profiling. I love it. I love it. Adam, brother. Big weekend for the Warhawks in multiple sports. Let's start with basketball first. The Warhawks are having a pretty good year, 13-10 overall, 6-5 there in the Sun Belt. And UL is trying to improve. They're 14-10. They're 5-6 in the Sun Belt. So a big game for both teams, obviously in-state rivals. Tell us a little bit, how are the Warhawks playing right now? I know they're really good at home, 11-1, but they're 2-9 on the road. Why are they so much better at home than on the road?
Well, if we had the answer to that question, we'd be doing something else right now, because I think you just described being the majority of these teams in college basketball, especially when you're looking at the mid-major, one bid league level. And really the difference between them home and away is Deshaun Smith. I mean, that kid has come in. He was a transfer from Wichita State that set out all of last year, and he's put himself in position to be in the discussion for the Sun Belt Men's Player of the Year. I mean, he's already had 142-point games. He averaged 37 points last week in both wins against Georgia State and Georgia Southern, and those were wins they needed to really steady themselves before they go back out on the road, because if you look at the schedule, it flips. And they're going to have to close the five of their last seven games away from Fenton and Coliseum. And when you're 0-4 in the league already on the road, that's going to be a tough road to hope.
What do you think? How confident do you think that the Warhawks, though, are from the previous matchup between these two teams earlier this season? Adam, I would assume they have a little bit of confidence, even though they have to go on the road and play inside the Cajun Dome. They know that they can beat this Cajuns team. That has to go a long way for them, even though this is going to be a road game.
Right, you're always going to have confidence when you're coming off a win, but if you go back and look at that game, the Cajuns are really the first team to figure out what ULM's main deficiency is on the defensive end, and that is, basic things like stopping the basketball. Because it's not just their guards, but even their post players. You know, they've got some length, but they don't got any meat to them. You know, so if you've got bigger guards, and you can drive the ball and post a little bit, and if you go back and watch that game. In the second half, that's what the Cajuns figured out, and they basically drove the ball at will and got themselves back in it in position to win. ULM obviously closed it out, but I think you're going to see a lot of ball screens and a lot of on-ball driving in action for 40 minutes instead of 20 minutes this time.
So you expect the Cajuns to make a difference in how they attack the Warhawks come Saturday?
I do, because you go back to that first half. I mean, that was some ugly stretch of basketball for the Cajuns trying to figure out, really how to attack them. But credit to Bob Marlin, he figured it out. And I think you're going to see them attack that way the entire game this time. Of course, the trick for UL will be not only will Deshaun Smith do on the road, but also looking at some other guys. Can Michael Wirtle have a good game? Their other guard and. What do you get from Travis Munnings? Because, as good as he's been for the Warhawks over his career, he's not having one of his best years as a senior.
What do you believe? We're on with Adam Hunsucker, the Monroe News Star. He covers the ULM Warhawks. Adam, what's going to have to be a key? You kind of hinted at it a little bit that you expect the Raging Cajuns, Bob Marlin, that they're going to make the adjustments from the first game to this game. What are some of the keys for if the Warhawks do want to pull out the win Saturday night when they play inside the Cajun Dome, tip-off being 7 o'clock?
I think what they have to do a good job of, even if the Cajuns are driving, they can't collapse right away and leave three-point shooters open. If they do that, you're thinking a team that plays at home, they're going to shoot a higher percentage at home. That's not going to be good. And as far as how you guard, how you guard Louisiana Lafayette. I think you just have to go into this game knowing that Jakinen Gant is going to be Jakinen Gant. And you mitigate that as best you can, but it's more important to make sure that they don't have another guy that's on that floor go off. So let Gant get his and contain everyone else.
Adam, what were the expectations like for this ULM team this season, and are they reaching those expectations, or are they falling short?
You know, I think, you know, that's a really good question, because going into the year, Keith Richard was pretty open about the fact he thought he had a good team and maybe the potential to be the best team he's had at ULM, you know, around for the money for that team a few years ago that won 24 games and were the runner-ups in the CBI. But the thing about them is they've been so close to being even better than they are right now. You know, they've lost three of those road losses were by 1 point.
Oh.
And were literally at the buzzer. So you can make the argument that if you break, they could be as good as 7-2 in this league. But, you know, that's the breaks. That's not how they fall. And I think it's interesting when you look at them and then you look at the Cajuns, because they follow kind of a similar trajectory right now, and where you've got two talented teams that have shown that they can compete, but then there's been these maddening losing streaks, and ULM was able to kind of pull themselves up off the mat with two wins last week like the Cajuns did by beating Georgia State. So both of these teams have a lot to play for right now. They're in similar situations, and that thing is going to lead to an even more competitive game than you would normally see between these two rivals.
Adam, let's switch over to the Diamond. The ULM baseball team opens up the season tonight at LSU. Pre-games can be live right here on 103.7 The Game at 6:30. First pitch at 7. I know the Warhawks are coming off a disappointing 2018 season where they went 23-31 overall and they were 10-20 in conference play. What's the buzz? What's the talk about this year's team? And do you anticipate them being more improved from last year's team that lost 31 games?
You know, that's the interesting thing, because it remains to be seen. And as far as last year, you know, it was Michael Federico's first year as the head coach. It was an improvement on the year before, which was, you know, was the worst year in program history. So there were some improvements made in that last year, but they're still not where they want to be. And I think that's indicative of what Federico did with the roster coming in the year. They got 27 new players.
27 new players for this season?
For this season, 27 new players from 13 different states and two Canadians on top of that.
Wow.
So it's really a junior college heavy roster. There are two freshmen in the program right now. So that tells you what they're trying to do as far as turning this thing over. And that's why I think this team is going to be fun. I don't know how good they're going to be, because, I mean, there's so many unknown when you basically just gut a roster like that. But these are a bunch of JUCO kids that, you know, have come up the hard way. They've had to work. Nothing's been handed to them. And they're just excited to be there and have an opportunity to play. And I think they'll be kind of a loose, you know, fun group to follow.
What about their pitching staff? Who's going to be taking the bump for them tonight in Alex Box Stadium, Adam?
Well, that's the funny thing about it. I believe all indications are right now it's going to be Justin Barton, who's actually a local kid. Grew up in Mangum. His dad, Bo Barton, was a high school football coach in the area. Coached at Ravel for a long time. So he started LSU. Eunice was at Mississippi State for a little while, ran into some arm issues, and transferred back home. But it's looking like he's going to get the nod. But the funny thing was, you know, I met with Coach Federico last week, and the first thing he told me is, "I'm not telling you anything about what we're doing in Baton Rouge," because he's tried to use this unknown and this kind of aura of mystery to his advantage. But I think you're going to see Barton go. But Trey Jeans, their other weekend starter, the two they've identified while they try to find a third, he could also pitch, because the way their schedule sets up, they're going to be able to throw a lot of arms in there this weekend in Baton Rouge. They're also going to play Air Force and Army. So I wouldn't be shocked if you see more than one starter pitch in one game.
Really? So you're thinking it's just they're going to use this as an opportunity to get a lot of work for their guys?
Yeah, because that's what they need to find out. I mean, relief pitching was more of a strength last year, but they lost their closer, Keegan Curtis. He was drafted by the Yankees. And they feel good about another kid they brought in, Miles Dunn, from the JUCO ranks in relief. But they like their bullpen, so they want to get those guys plenty of work.
Adam, before I let you go, brother, and I appreciate you coming on as always, but I just want to take a moment to personally say congratulations, brother, for the being honored with the Prep Journalism Award from the LHSAA last month. It's a well-deserving honor, man. You're killing it up there in the area. You've been doing that for 6 years, covering preps in ULM, and a great honor for you and well-deserved, my friend, and proud of you, brother.
I appreciate that. It was cool to get that award. You know, I'm kind of, you know, it's always nice to get an award, but that one kind of meant something just coming from the LHSAA, and you know how it is when you double dip in both areas. It's rewarding, but it's a lot of work, and it is cool to be acknowledged for that. So I appreciate you saying that.
And now you're going to have a little bit of a burden, my friend, because now with that award, now people are going to probably ask you to see if you can fix this whole split issue with the state. So no pressure.
I've already got the solution. It's just that you know as well as I do, you spend some time around the principals in these states, nobody's going to go for it. I can have this done by lunchtime if they let me.
Adam, brother, appreciate you, man. Congrats on the awards, man, and we'll talk to you soon, man. Enjoy the busy season with basketball and baseball and softball all bleeding over, plus you got high schools on top of it. So I know you're busy, brother, but enjoy yourself.
You too, man. Appreciate it.
Adam Hunsucker of the Monroe News Star breaking down ULM Force. Big weekend for the Warhawks. Baseball teams playing down there in the LSU tournament, opening up tonight against the Tigers. And then the men's basketball team, huge game inside the Cajun Dome, ladies and gentlemen. 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night right here at UL. RPOs with RP3 are coming up next right here on the Wrap Game with RP3. Right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
Blue poncho.
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre, 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 Dre.
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
RPO time. Right here on Wrap Game with RP3. Live from the 237 Roof Studios. And guess what, Ray? It's college baseball season. Opening day is here. It's official.
I'm excited. I will be. I cannot. I was thinking about going to opening day, either to LSU or UL. But I'm actually going to be going to the UL baseball game on Sunday. I want to see the rubber match between the Cajuns and the visiting Longhorns. So I'll be out at Russo Park at the Teague.
There you go.
On Sunday. So I'll be getting in my college baseball opening weekend action.
Well, sweet. So you'll be able to give us a nice recap on at least the atmosphere around the Teague on opening weekend. So that'll be fun on Monday.
That's right.
What I want to talk about right now, though, is the games happening at Alec Box Stadium. The LSU Tigers will be taking on ULM. We just talked about that. And then they'll also be taking on Army and Air Force as well this weekend. What I want to know from you, Raymond, RPO time, either Landon Morseau on Saturday or Jaden Hill on Sunday. Those two guys are going to start Saturday and Sunday, respectively, for LSU. Landon Morseau and Jaden Hill.
Yes, Jaden Hill's been switched over to the Sunday starter for at least the first 2 weeks.
Right.
Because Walker's recovery is a little bit slower, so they're going to let him be the midweek starter.
Yeah, on Wednesday, I believe.
He's Walker playing at Northwestern State.
So you've got Landon Morseau, Jaden Hill. We've never seen any of these guys in Tiger uniforms before until this weekend. RPO. One of those two newcomers will outpitch Zach Hess this weekend.
Yes. I'd run.
Running with it. They're all pitching against different teams, so it's kind of a tough question, but you understand the premise.
Yes, and I think that the teams that Hill and Morseau are going to be pitching against are not as good as maybe ULM. You know, plus, you know, it'll be towards the end of the weekend. You know, Zach has the pressure of being the opening night guy.
Right.
And you're always going to have to shake off some rust a little bit there. But, no, I would run with that. I think since you're giving me the two guys, one of them.
One of the two, yes.
We'll be talking Monday.
Zach Hess basically won't have the best outing of the weekend.
Zach Hess will be good. One of the other guys will have a surprisingly better game that we'll be all talking about on Monday. So, yes, I'll run with that.
Fair enough. And to keep in mind, Zach Hess, I believe, is on like a 4 or 5 inning kind of limit as well. So when I say out pitch, I don't necessarily mean go 8 innings deep in a game and this and that. I just mean when you watch the game, who's going to have the better stuff. And I want to see Zach Hess do better, but it wouldn't surprise me if he has a few speed bumps and we see one of these young kids come out and
I don't, and I also don't think you're going to see Zach Hess in there very long.
No, he's got a four or five inning limit on this opening weekend for sure. So, you know.
The freshmen are going to come in. You're going to let them get more reps. Yeah. So they're going to have a better opportunity.
I like that so much. Let's keep talking college baseball, Raymond. Now we'll talk the game that you're going to go to, or at least one of them you're going to go to, that rubber match between the Cajuns and the Longhorns on Sunday. It could be maybe an actual rubber match if they've split the first two games. I'll get your thoughts on that right now. RPO, the Cajuns, will take at least 2 out of those 3 games against Texas.
Oh, you put me on the spot.
You can always option. It's the opening weekend. I'll allow it this time, but
I'm going to say pass. I think that they will win one. I think they'll sneak one. You know, Texas is ranked in the top 25. This is a team. I know they're young, and they got like 20 freshmen on there or something ridiculous. But this is a team that went to the College World Series last year.
Right.
You know, the Cajuns, I still have to see what they're going to be bringing to the table. We expect their hitting to be better, but it was woeful last year. I mean, it was like .243 batting average for the team. You know, they got Hanson Monica back. You know, they're going to have Gunnar Leger back on the bump. So, you know, I think they'll get a game, but I think it'll take a little while for the Cajuns' bats to kind of heat up. I could be wrong. It would be terrific if they took 2 or 3. That'd be a hell of a way to start the season, taking down a top 25 team winning a series against a perennial national powerhouse like Texas. And that would be a pleasant surprise. But, you know, it being the opening series, I think the Cajuns sneak in one win, but I think they fall just short of taking 2.
Well, did they win on opening night?
I think that's probably
their
best
chance.
That
might be their best shot, if you're thinking on that Friday. So tonight, maybe.
I think you're going to see some nastiness from Gunner.
I like it. All right. I got to switch gears on you now. Let's jump up to the NBA, the association. It is All-Star Weekend officially. I guess it's All-Star Weekend now officially. The dunk contest, that's what we want to talk about. Let me read some of these names to you here. Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, Hamidou Diallo, John Collins. I will end this segment right now and cancel my wedding if you can tell me like 2 teams that 2 of these guys play for.
Did Miles Bridges play for Michigan State?
I'm talking about right now.
I have no idea, Zach.
That's my point.
Dennis Smith Jr.
You'll never get it. It's one of the worst teams in the league. They just won their first game in like 2 months.
Well, he was playing for the Dallas Mavericks, but he was traded as part of the unicorn trade.
Yes,
so he plays for the New York Knicks.
He's on the Knicks now, correct.
I got one.
You got one.
That's all I got for you, brother.
Miles Bridges is on the Hornets, so he's kind of the hometown guy, so that'll be fun for him. Hamidou Diallo plays
for... Is there
a
Pistons?
OKC, and no, he plays for the Thunder. And John Collins plays for the Atlanta Hawks. So there's that.
No.
That's fun. That's your dunk contest in 2019. I don't even know how to frame this as an RPO. RPO on the fact that this will be 1 million times worse than Vince Carter winning the dunk contest.
Well, since Vince Carter's legendary 2000 slam dunk contest is the stuff of legends, the greatest dunk contest in the history of slam dunk contest, yes, I'm going to run. It's going to be so...
It's terrible.
There hasn't been a dunk contest as good since then. And don't bring me the weak sauce of Dwight Howard in the stupid Superman cape. Or Blake Griffin over the car. Vince Carter just had the ball and went out there. He did the 360. Then he had the one dunk in that contest, which was through the legs off the bounce.
Yeah.
And then he had the other dunk where he dunked it so powerfully he got his whole arm up in the basket.
I mean, that made it in the rap songs. Vince Carter put his arm in the rim.
Best slam dunk contest ever was that. Now, the best competition was the Jordan Dominique one. that Dominique should have won. He got robbed, and they gave it to Jordan for jumping from the free throw line. Dominique had a better dunk, better dunks in that dunk contest from the 80s.
Right.
But the best individual performance in the slam dunk competition, 2000, Vince Carter, Toronto Raptors. By the way, Vince Carter still playing in the league.
He is. I love the normal just household names in this dunk contest, all right? Smith Jr., Bridges, Diallo, and Collins.
And Vince Carter's one of the guys that's pissed off because he says he doesn't understand why the stars don't dunk in the dunk contest.
He's the one to say it.
He's the GOAT when it comes to that. When we come back here on Rap Game with RP3, LSU men's basketball talk and a little baseball talk with our friend Tyler Nunes from Tiger Rag right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers, broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios right here in Upper Lafayette. Just a reminder, tonight, LSU baseball versus ULM will be heard live right here on 103.7 The Game, pregame 6:30, first pitch right after 7. Then on Saturday, LSU at Georgia men's basketball game, pregame show 4:30 right here on 103.7 The Game, followed by tip at 5, and then your weekend can wrap it up with more LSU baseball versus Air Force live from Alex Box Stadium. Pregame show right here on 103.7 The Game, 2:30, first pitch at 3. And we're going to talk more about LSU basketball and baseball as we head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our good friend from Tiger Rag, the one and only Tyler Nunes. Tyler, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing well. Baseball season starts today. You got some basketball this weekend. LSU's fresh off this huge win against Kentucky. It's a good time to be covering LSU sports, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So let's start with the men's basketball. Tremendous victory. Will Wade's first signature win. That's the type of win that they take up space in the media guide for. They dedicate a couple pages to taking down the number 5 team in the country on the road in Lexington. Terrific performance by the guards, especially. They were able to break Kentucky's defense over and over all night. The bigs came up big. Naz Reid, Big Me Williams, obviously, with the putback there, the game winner. We've been waiting all season, right, Tyler? You know, they'd been beating teams. They'd played down to the competition, and they played up. You know, they played up against that Ole Miss team that was ranked in the top 25 at the time. They played up for some other teams. But nothing like this. This is what was the other night the kind of the absolute potential of this LSU men's basketball team?
I don't know about absolute potential. They get a tough, even tougher matchup in a couple weeks against, or I guess in a week from now, against a really good Tennessee team, number one team in the country. But as far as, signature wins go, they don't get much more signature than that. I mean, Kentucky is the premier team in the conference year after year. John Calipari's been there. He's been dominant there since he's been there. It's been about a decade now, so... that's only the seventh time John Calipari's ever lost in Rupp. It's a huge win. It's really hard to overstate how big of a win that was. It's yet to be seen where that will land as far as, like, wins on the Will Wade era. But if this does turn out to be, like, a golden era of LSU basketball, I think that's going to be the game we look back on and go, like, that's where it started. That's where we kind of found out that this might be for real.
Tell me, let's focus in on the guard play. You know, it's been inconsistent at times throughout the year. Tremont Waters has gotten better as the season's progressed, really playing himself, living up to those preseason all-SEC honors that were bestowed on him. You know, Javonte Smart, though, is a guy who, when you watch him play, and he came up with some big plays, it's just there are times where you're watching him and you're just waiting for him to kind of calm down. Like, he's so amped up, it seems that, you know, it's that classic young player thing, right? He's so amped up that, you know, you just feel like he just needs to have the game kind of come to him. Just be patient and let the game come to him, and he is going to be a special player. Your thoughts on Javonte, and, you know, I know he's battled inconsistencies, but do you feel like he's maybe starting to turn a corner and can be a huge key for them?
I love Javonte Smart. I think Javonte Smart's one of my favorite guards to come through LSU in a really long time. Not only because, I mean, he's a Baton Rouge guy, so those of us around here of the Louisiana basketball scene have kind of followed him since he was a freshman in high school, kind of making waves that way. But Javonte Smart's a great guard. Sometimes he does tend to try to do a little too much, especially late in games, but in other times he looks phenomenal. In that Missouri game, he was the one that really kind of carried LSU through overtime, and that was a pretty crunch-time situation. So I think that Javonte Smart's going to be just fine. I think that, yeah, sometimes he can be a little inconsistent and he tries to do a little too much. But overall, I mean, he doesn't need a lot of room to make something happen, and he's really dangerous around the rim. So, and he's always going to get better. I think that he's learned a lot from guys like Darrell Mays and Jamal Waters. And going into next season, he's going to be one of their primary go-to guys.
Speaking of go-to guys, Tyler, you and I have talked about this on the program. Naz Reid sure does seemingly coming into his own, right? He seems like he's really – it's starting to come together for him. Everything's starting to come together. He's developing the outside shot. He's getting a little bit more confidence in his body. It came up in Kentucky where he came up with some big rebounds, and he's starting to do a little bit of the dirty work as well as develop the jump shot. This has all of a sudden happened in the last 3 weeks or so. All of a sudden it's like the light bulb went off, and we're getting more consistent, dominant play from the big fella.
Yeah, I think he's just more comfortable playing his style of basketball. I think that for a large portion of the year, he was still trying to figure out just how this college game worked. I think he was trying to find his place. I think he was a little bit hesitant to use his body for a couple reasons. He didn't want to get, you know, beat down there. He didn't want to, you know, get run into somebody who was stronger than him. But he found out that there aren't a lot of people who are stronger than him down there. So he's using his body a lot more. He's just got to – if he stays out of foul trouble, he's phenomenal, which sometimes is easier said than done. I mean, in that Kentucky game, some of those fouls, they're calling them pretty ticky-tacky. So, you know, it's just sometimes you just got to kind of play around the officiating. But overall, whenever he's able to play his style of basketball, I mean, when he's confident, he's really tough to slow down.
What kind of impact do you think Bigby Williams has had on Naz Reid?
Oh, my gosh. He's huge. This team isn't 20-4 or 10-1 in SEC play without Cadell Bigby Williams. He's absolutely phenomenal on both sides of the floor. He's not going to fill up the stat sheet, but, I mean, the stuff he does, I mean, he keeps opposing teams from dominating the paint. He's amazing. He's incredible on the offensive boards. He's been huge as far as putbacks go for LSU. I mean, just – it's really hard to overstate, I mean, how valuable he is to this team. Don't look at his stat sheet because it's not going to tell you a lot. But, man, he is – this team is not what it is without Cadell Bigby Williams, that's for sure.
And doesn't his experience being a member of a Final Four team play a huge role in this too, because he's seen it all and done it all, right?
I guess. I think it's a little overstated in my opinion. I think that's a little bit I mean, he was a freshman and he didn't play a ton on those teams. I do think it is valuable, though. I think it's going to be more and more valuable. They get into the postseason. I think he's going to be able to have a mindset that he can kind of distribute to the players. He can kind of tell them, like, yo, this is how we have to think. This is how we have to act in these situations. Because, I mean, most of these kids are freshmen. The biggest games they've ever played in are state championship games, and that's a far cry from being in the NCAA tournament.
We're on with Tyler Nunes from Tiger Ag. Tyler, this Saturday, classic trap game, right? I mean, Georgia is struggling.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia's struggling. Tom Crean's trying to establish something there, but it's not going well his first season at the helm of the Bulldogs. But classic trap game in the sense that they got the big games next week. Florida comes to town to the PMAC, and then obviously number one Tennessee on Saturday, a week from Saturday. Will Wade, though, he's been preaching focus all season long. They had the trip up against Arkansas, a game that they nearly came back and won. They actually took the lead and then still ended up just falling short at home. Do you anticipate a more focused team on Saturday than the one that took the court for the Arkansas game? Do you think maybe they learned their lesson?
You'd like to think so. It's kind of tough to say, though. There's a lot of factors going into that. I mean, this is one of the biggest program victories in a really long time. So it's kind of hard to say how they're going to respond to that and how they're going to be able to refocus. I will say that Will Wade has talked about narrowing focus the bigger games get. Well, now the games all get huge because everyone's, you know, a potential. I mean, they control their own destiny in the SEC, which is kind of wild to say. But if they win out, they're going to be the SEC champion. So if they can, every game is huge at this point. I think that's what Will Wade has to be coaching. Like, every game is Tennessee. Every game is Kentucky. Every game is Mississippi State, Auburn. Like, every single one of these games that you're going to play means could be the difference between a one seed in the SEC tournament or even potentially a 3 or 4. So I think that that's what Will Wade's going to be coaching to these guys. He's going to be narrowing that focus. And I will say, we're not talking to players today. We're just talking to Will. So we won't get players again until next week. So yeah. I think that tells you probably everything you need to know.
No one expected this. We expected this team to be a good team, right, Tyler? But no one expected this team to be in contention to win the regular season championship if they went out.
Right. No. No. There's what, 7 SEC games left, and yeah, and they're going to be favored to win all of them except for one. So LSU has put themselves in really better situation than this is honestly the best I've ever seen an LSU team perform in the regular season in my entire life. I mean, you got even the 2006 Final Four team. They had 9 regular season losses, and they finished like kind of towards the top of the SEC, but not near the first. So. I mean, it's hard to put into perspective how good this LSU team has performed this season, but it's really something special.
In your opinion, should Will Wade be the SEC Coach of the Year?
Undoubtedly. It's not even a question in my mind. I guess you can make an argument for I don't know. It's in my head, it's a one-horse race with Will Wade, in my opinion. Nobody expected that. LSU was projected to finish middle of the pack in the SEC this year by coaches and media at the SEC Media Days, and now they could potentially finish first. So as long as things keep going this way, right now it's a one-horse race with Will Wade.
We're talking with Tyler Nunez at Tiger Ag. Tyler, let's switch over to the Diamond. Baseball team opens up the season. A lot of lofty expectations. Rated by most as either the number one or number two ranked team in the country. They have a great group. That outfield may be the best in it's the best in the SEC, may be the best in the country. They got the pitchers, they got the rotation, they got the youth. They got a lot of guys that they're going to be counting on. Tremendous expectations. It's hard to believe, though, right? 10 years, this is the 10th anniversary of the last national championship for the baseball team. Is there any pressure, do you think, on Maneri, or do you think it's just Maneri putting pressure on himself to get another championship? Because that's one of the first things that he said at Media Day was he thought they would have some more numbers up there on the Intimidator. And I know, you know, the 2013 team kind of comes to mind, and, you know, obviously the 2017 team, if Walker doesn't get hurt, that could have ended totally differently. Do you think there's any pressure whatsoever to live up to the massive expectations that come with being LSU baseball?
I think there has to be, right? It's LSU baseball. I mean, they have that Intimidator. They won so many national championships in such a short period of time under Skip Berman that I think that's become the expectation. And I think people are okay with Maneri. I don't think he's in any kind of hot seat. I mean, they're in the College World Series finals, two wins away from a World Series 2 years ago. So I think that he's okay, but I don't fault him for putting that kind of pressure on himself. I think that that's what a coach in his position is supposed to do. I think that that's what this fan base expects, and I think he knew that coming into this job 10 years ago. I think he's not the only one that wants more championships on that Intimidator board. He's not the only one that expects that. So I think that's a good approach for him to take personally. I think he's got one of the top teams in the country this season. There's not really an excuse for them to take a step back. They should be in the College World Series this year, whether they not make the finals. That's kind of up to the baseball gods, but they should at least be in position to do that. And if not, it's going to be a kind of a disappointing year.
Tyler, a guy that I've been impressed with since I covered him back in high school is Antoine Duplantis. And that whole family is genetically gifted, to say the least. But Antoine is very much in contention to setting the new SEC mark for career hits, and yet he feels like a very underrated, under-the-radar kind of player. Do you agree with that, and why do you think that is?
I mean, maybe outside of the LSU program, but, like, everyone around here loves him. I think that, I mean, he's one of Paul Molinari's favorite players. He said he doesn't like to play favorites, but if there's one guy he likes, it's Antoine Tuplantis. He's just such a consistent player. He's a fantastic outfielder. He turned down the MLB to come back and play this season for his senior year so he could help LSU potentially win a national championship. And then on top of that, I mean, he's so consistent at the plate. He's not going to hit bombs, but, like, he's good for a single a game at least. I mean, his batting average is ridiculous. So, I don't know. I think he's the kind of baseball player that a lot of LSU fans like. We're kind of beyond the gorilla ball days where they're just smashing right. home runs. Part of that's just, like, technology. You can't really do that anymore, but... he's that kind of player. He's a player that's so consistent that he's going to put LSU in a position for success every time he's on the field.
It was announced yesterday that Molinari announced his rotation for the next 2 weeks. And Eric Walker coming off that terrible injury and had to be sidelined all year is not going to be the Sunday starter to start off with. He's a little slow in his recovery, so they're going to have him as the midweek starter to kind of let him get his reps and slowly bring him in. When he makes that announcement, I go, okay, that makes sense. He's going to go start against Northwestern State in the middle of next week. Plus, you let the other kid, the young guy that everyone raves about that was drafted as well, he gets some reps on Sunday. I don't see anything wrong with this. It's the early part of the season. There's no reason to rush Walker back, right, Tyler?
Right, absolutely. I mean, the rotation right now is not indicative of what the rotation will be come SEC play. All these games all these non-conference games, while they mean something, they don't mean a lot, and they all mean the same. So a win against, you know, Navy, Air Force is going to be, Army or Air Force or ULM is going to be the same as one against Northwestern State. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're just kind of picking and choosing. You're trying to figure your season out. It's almost like a preseason, these non-conference games. I think with the exception of Texas, obviously, that's going to be a big series because it's a fun non-conference series against another Power 5 school with a history. So, but other than that, I mean, I wouldn't really worry too much about the rotation right now. He's still trying to figure some things out. Some guys are still trying to get healthy, including Zach Hess, who's only going to go 4 innings tonight.
Right.
I think that just don't be surprised if we see a few games where LSU's pitching by committee early on.
And we'll wrap it up with this, Tyler. Apparently, Saul Garza, the catcher who's going to start the season off as a designated hitter, he has gotten himself up close and personal with the big video scoreboard out there at Alex Box Stadium because he's been teeing off on it. How big is Garza going to be to this team? I know Molinari talked about it at Media Day. They love his bat. This guy is a power hitter like many that we haven't seen. And they want him in the lineup from day one, even though he can't catch. They're making a spot for him. They're going to make him the DH. Garza, what have been your thoughts about him in this early period leading up to the season?
Well, my coworker James Moran, who's our baseball beat writer, loves him. He did a big feature on him. He's a really interesting story. Go to TigerRag.com to read that. But and follow James Moran. He's going to have you covered for baseball all season. But if he lives up to the hype, I mean, it's kind of hard to understand. You need power hitters like that in this game, and they don't come around very often, especially in this area of college baseball. Like we were talking about earlier with the new bats and the new balls, it's kind of hard to hit out of the park on a consistent basis. But if you have a kid who can do that and a kid that can kind of bring, I mean, as a cleanup guy, that's super valuable in baseball. And whenever they're as hard to come by and at the college level as they are, you take them when you can get them.
Tyler, appreciate it, brother. What are your plans this weekend, my friend?
I'm gonna be watching the Georgia game tomorrow. I'm probably gonna catch the baseball game on TV tonight, and on Sunday I might head out there. I gotta check out the yard. I need to order a beer in the box, man. I've never done that.
There you go, brother. There you go. That sounds like a hell of a weekend. Well, Tyler, man, appreciate you making time for us as always. Enjoy your weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Tyler Nunes, Tiger Rag. Breaking down some LSU basketball and baseball for us right here on the Rap Game with RP3. We will wrap up the week as we are in the final minutes of Cody Shute's prenups as a producer here at 103.7 The Game. We'll wrap up the show after this. Just a programming reminder. We got you covered for LSU all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, baseball and basketball. And tonight, reminder, the 4-4A game of the week. Westgate at Northside. Tigers at Vikings. Northside is my favorite high school gym in Acadiana to watch a basketball game, by the way. Ben Love will be on the call. That will be on 97.7 The Rewind, because we'll have LSU baseball right here on 103.7 The Game. Hey, check out the producers on Saturday. It's going to be at 10 a.m. Do my boy, the world-famous Clint D, a favor, okay? Yes. Will it be as good when Cody is on there? No, okay? It's going to lack a little something because Cody's got the nups. But
it can't all be winners.
But World Famous is going to take care of you.
He is.
So tune in to the producer Saturday at 10 o'clock.
World Famous trying to make a play to join the Bearded Villains, I feel like, as well. The Bearded Villains, Clint. That is one of APW's stables. I think he's trying to be part of them. I don't know.
Nice, nice. I want to thank everyone that came on today. Tyler Nunez, obviously from Tiger Ag, Adam Hunsaker from the Monroe News Star. I also want to thank Patrick McClellan for not coming on and George Faust for not coming on, because that gave us the opportunity to get into some Cody shoots, nuptial talks. Cody.
Yes, Clint.
You just called me Clint.
He's talking to me as well. Oh, wow. Breaking as of right now. Pelicans. They fire general manager Dell Demps following the Anthony Davis trade saga. That is a Woj bomb for you.
Oh, there! Thank you, baby Jesus, in your tuxedo.
Right at the right time, too. It's a Friday news dump. Granted, Pelicans, we see what you're doing. But Dell Demps is fired.
Thank you, Pelicans. Thank you,
Gil Benson. Good luck in all your future endeavors, Dell.
Thank you, Mickey Loomis. Can we help pack Dell Demps up? Cody. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Have a terrific nups and honeymoon. Enjoy yourself.
We will, man. Thank you very much,
and
dude.
And just remember, it's all about her.
It's all about her, and I will get there early.
And don't be late from the golf. Whatever you do, don't be late. Y'all have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy yourself. We'll talk to you on Monday. Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game.